2 years ago, methamphetamine cases were unusual in North Dakota. Last year, there were 108, and this year, there have already been more than 100 meth busts. In Minnesota, drug agents say the number of meth cases has increased tenfold in the past 2 years. Experts say methamphetamine is especially dangerous because it provides the intense high of cocaine at a fraction of the cost, and the high lasts much longer. Gerard Kottenbrock vividly remembers the first time he tried meth. He was dealing drugs when a friend offered him a new kind of high.
And so I snorted a little bit. I thought, well, I'll catch a good buzz and, you know, go to sleep later or whatever. And like a day and a half later, I came over to his house and like going, I had been up for a day and a half going, man, this stuff is really good. How can we get some more of this stuff? You know, it's like blah, 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 blah. And it's like addiction. And you just wanted this stuff. You wanted more and more and more. I mean, it was so good.
To keep supplied, Gerard soon hooked up with a cooker, someone with the expertise to make meth in a homemade lab. Most methamphetamine used in the upper Midwest is imported from California. But increasingly, people are setting up their own manufacturing labs, especially in rural areas.
Somebody can set up a lab in an abandoned farm building or farmhouse and pretty much go undetected.
John Schneider is U.S. Attorney for North Dakota. He says until 2 years ago, law enforcement had busted one meth lab in the history of North Dakota. Since then, a dozen labs have been found. Federal officials say 26 labs were raided in Minnesota last year.
The recipes for putting methamphetamine together are available on the internet and through all kinds of circles. The precursor chemicals are readily available, and so any wannabe chemist with a bathtub can basically make this drug, and they are.
Not only do methamphetamine labs produce an illegal, sometimes deadly drug, the potent brew of chemicals can cause explosions and toxic fumes. Aaron Rash, the head of the North Dakota Crime Lab, says illegal labs often leave behind a toxic mess that needs the attention of pollution control officials.
Well, these chemicals are considered hazardous waste. You know, if they're just dumped out on the ground, EPA certainly looks at them very seriously as potential pollution to our water systems.
Rash says the toxic leftovers make the labs expensive and time-consuming to investigate and clean up. The human damage caused by methamphetamine can also be costly. The drug can cause heart problems, and because people addicted to meth often don't eat for days, other medical problems can develop. Use of the drug can also lead to severe psychological dysfunction. Gerard Kottenbrock says the first few months he used meth was like perpetually reliving the best day of his life.
And if there's a heaven, I'm sure that's probably a lot what it's like. It's no matter what happens, you're okay. You feel good, you know. But again, you know, the deceptive nature is, it's like, you know, you take a trip into hell, you know.
For Gerard, the descent started with short-term memory loss and difficulty making decisions. Then paranoia began to creep in.
One night I snuck out of the house, you know, and went over to a phone booth down the street, and I called the cops, and I was like whispering, you know, hey, there's somebody in my house. Go and watch the house. You know what I mean? I'm whispering to the cops, you know, and it's like, you know, I gave my address, and I hung up the phone, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, and I was still selling at this time, you know, but it was like, that is so bizarre, you know, but it's like I knew somebody was in my house, and I didn't know who it was.
Kottenbrock would spend hours taking apart his house looking for hidden cameras. He recalls one day sitting in his house watching the milkman making his rounds.
And I looked out the door and all of a sudden it hit me. That's where the recording equipment is. That's how they're doing it, you know. And so this milk truck starts driving down the street to go to the next stop, and I ran after this truck, you know. I jump on the back bumper. I open up that door, you know, with the steel handle, and I just, I screamed, you know. It's like I open it up, and I look around, and there's milk in the milk truck, you know. But it's kind of like, and I didn't say at that point, yeah, Gerard, you are doped out of your mind. I said, how did they do that? How did they switch that on me?
Kottenbrock soon hit bottom and spent hours huddled in a corner of his house, cradling a rifle, waiting for unseen intruders. Then one night, some friends tied him up and hauled him to the psych ward at a local hospital.
I'll never forget it, because I just remember that I either wanted to go completely insane or I wanted to die, because I didn't think I could feel what I was feeling for another minute, you know. I pretty much figured that I would have to blow my head off, you know, because I couldn't imagine feeling that way. I was in such emotional and physical pain even, you know, I couldn't live that way. And
Gerard Kottenbrock survived. He's now attending college, planning to be an addiction counselor. He considers himself lucky. He says some friends from his drug days have committed suicide. Others are in prison. He says law enforcement can't defeat methamphetamine. He'd like to see more education. He says anyone tempted to use the drug should know they'll be flirting with the devil. I'm Dan Gunderson, Main Street Radio.